You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Fight week upon us, Morning Combat, UFC 254. It's the Lightweight Summit. So you know your boy C, the Brian Campbell, got to go to the experts for your UFC 254 expert picks. Let me bring him in right now in this MK Extra. Little bonus action here. South Florida's finest. You know him. Always sweet, never sour. The Tower of Ayahuasca Power, former UFC light heavyweight champion and Hall of Famer Sugar Rashad Evans, my mainest broham. How is it down there in South Florida these days, man?
Oh, man, it's steady out here, man. It's been going pretty good. Just enjoying life. And I miss you, man. I miss you. Good to be part of the Morning Combat crew, man. Good to be back.
We are part of this MK Extended Universe. We used to dance around a couple times a week on the CBS Sports State of Combat, but everything's evolving here. Great to still have you in the family. Of course, Rashad, can I get a pulse check here on a 1 to 10 of excitement in a 2020 where you got to give Uncle Dana credit? You know, it's all killer, no filler as far as UFC main events this year. But when I say words like Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Justin Gaethje for the full title at 155, what is your body telling you?
My body's telling me a lot of things, BC. I'm overly excited. But listen, I'm not going to let myself get too excited because we still have to step into the octagon. There's still a few tests that we need to pass. And you can't get too excited because anything this pandemic has taught us is that never get too comfortable with anything. So
yeah.
I'm going to hold back the full excitement. But I'm kind of raging underneath. I'm kind of raging.
If anything of the Khabib versus Tony Ferguson soap opera has told us is don't expect a main event fight until it actually happens. That's why we have that expensive insurance policy called Michael Chandler, who will be in the building on Saturday just in case. Thank you for tuning in, of course, to this. Please like the video. Subscribe to Morning Combat. It's blowing up. It cannot be. It's so big, Rashad. And so explosive, this movement, this show, it can't be confined to the banana hammock of normal podcasts. We had to take this thing to YouTube and just let it, you know, right? Just let it get out there. So thank you, folks, for joining. But this is Expert Picks. We want to get underneath the betting odds, the storylines, find out who's going to win and why. And like I mentioned, no better guy to pick the brain of than a man who's still out there training, right? Over 40, still out there with the abs, working and training. Because you never know, Rashad, when that phone's going to ring. You do know that, right?
I do know that, man. I've been getting ready, man. Got Greg Hardy right now just in camp and helping him sharpen his tools, man. I'm feeling kind of sharp myself. So, I get a call, BC, you don't got to push me into the cage. I just might just jump in that joint.
You know, I broke bread with Mr. Coker, and I said, you know, this is me, the fan, talking, bro. Get Machida up in the bullpen, okay? I'm ready. Anyway, enough of that crap. Let's get into it. Khabib Gaethje this weekend, our friends at William Hill, the odds makers, Rashad, right off the top, Khabib Nurmagomedov, a -330 favorite to improve to 29-0 and try to keep that unbeaten streak alive. The interim champion, Justin Gaethje, fresh off that demolition of Tony Ferguson, a +260 underdog coming in. When you look at this matchup from the X's and O's, what should we be looking at most? What's the biggest storyline separate from the death of Khabib's father, separate from Justin coming in fired up? What the hell is this thing going to look like? What are you looking for?
Well, I mean, it's definitely going to be, you know, the story of this fight is, can Justin Gaethje keep the fight at least a little bit standing? Can he not get caught up in the wash and repeat cycle that Khabib Nurmagomedov is so famously known for and that everyone has tried to stop, 28 opponents have tried to stop, and none of them have been successful. So it's going to be if Justin Gaethje not Not, I mean, because he's going to get taken down, but it's, can he get back up? And can he get back up to challenge Khabib once he gets back up to his feet? That, to me, is the story of this fight.
I've always said the last couple of years, there's one man in this historically deep lightweight division, this era right now, who I could really make a case that could beat Khabib. And I thought it was Tony Ferguson. Well, Tony Ferguson's not coming through that door right now because Justin Gaethje went in there in May and just dismantled him en route to a fifth round TKO. Is it fair to say, Rashad, given Justin's, let's say, revamping, you know, transition from full on brawler to now calculated assassin, that he sort of assumes that mantle? Do you agree with this statement? If there's one lightweight who has a legitimate chance of beating Khabib, it's Justin Gaethje, true or false?
True or false, 100%, 100%. And he showed that in his last fight because not only was he able to hit those big shots, but more or less what he was doing with his footwork. He was landing those big shots and getting out to the angle. So then even if he's going against a guy like Khabib who would shoot underneath those punches, he was nowhere to be found with his legs after he shot the combination. So to me, that showed to me that he was definitely in a position to definitely challenge Khabib.
Now, we haven't seen Khabib since last September when he equally sort of demolished Dustin Poirier, which, I mean, look, if any wins from Khabib have been eye-opening, Rashad, that one was, to me, in a sense, where Dustin just never seemed to be in that fight. Every sort of avenue of potential victory was shut down hard. We haven't seen Khabib since then because of the pandemic, because of the travel bans, because of the loss of his father, Abdulmanap, and coach this past July. I don't think layoffs, though, Cage Rust, matter with Khabib. He tends to only fight once a year anyway. I mean, he missed 2 years and came back like nothing happened with that knee injury. Can we close the book on the idea that Khabib's coming in with any extra baggage, even with, and let's give it the respect it deserves, the loss of his father? Do you have any misgivings at how all of that will affect this fight?
No, I don't. You know, I think that ring rust and all those things that matter, that slow an athlete down, is what happens when you take time away from the octagon, you know, not even only the octagon, I mean, from training in itself. I know that myself because when I took my longest time away from training after I had a fight, that's when it was harder for me to get back into the swing of things. That's when it's harder for me to find the timing that I had from the fight before. Khabib doesn't have that. He doesn't have training camp. He just trains. It's his lifestyle. He trains every day like it's a training camp. So when you have that kind of mentality, when you're training your body like that on a consistent basis, you know, you don't get the ring rust, and you consistently improve on a skill level, because even as you're training and helping along guys who are getting ready for the fight. So you're sharpening your sword against guys who are sharp in themselves, getting ready to compete.
Yeah, indeed. I love this matchup in so many ways. So if we're going to stick with that theory that Justin might have the best chance of anyone else, we got to talk about what separates him from anyone else, again, in this insanely deep division. So, Rashad, I know, as he said last week when he joined Luke Thomas and I in Morning Combat with an interview that I hope all of you are going to check out, it's still out there on YouTube. You know, he said, I bring damage. I'm not going to go out like no bitch. We know these sort of cliche parts about what makes Justin different from the standpoint that, look, the dude's an absolute savage. But do you believe it's as easy as he says it is, Rashad? From, I used to go into the octagon looking to get every bonus and be, you know, MMA's action superhero. And then after those two losses, one to Dustin Poirier and one to Eddie Alvarez, in which he was stopped late in both in very fun and competitive fights, him and trainer Trevor Whitman, a guy you know very well, that it was just as easy as flicking that light switch that, okay, I had my fun, now let's get serious. And now, like, I'm not going to lie, like, this guy's among the top 5 or 6 pound for pound best fighters in the world. So was it really that easy where this was in him all along and he just had to change the mindset? Or should we be, you know, mailing Christmas cards to the great coach Whitman here on what an insane job he has done refining the beast?
I think it was a little bit both. You know, I think it was a little bit of, you know, he had it in him, but at the same time, it took some refinement. It took some of Trevor's angle work and just his mindset to be able to mold Justin to really get him to see that he didn't really need to shoot and throw his punches from the 50-50, that range where both fighters can hit each other, but on the side or on angles where he had the advantage on his opponent and his opponent had to turn and face him. So that's what Trevor's been able to do. But more than anything, I think the mindset of Justin is a unique mindset. I've never really seen a fighter that encompasses the mindset of Justin Gaethje. When you talk about a fighter who really, really loves the fight, this guy really, really, really loves the fight with everything inside of him. And he fights and trains like that all the time. So you have a guy who looks forward to having someone who can grind him out or who can challenge him in a way that will make him grow as a person. He told me, he said, Rashad, listen, everybody I spar, I challenge him. I say, listen, I'll give you $100, $200, whatever you want, if you can drop me to the body. And that's not so more or less, you know, so he can, you know, get himself hurt. But at the same time, it's a challenge. And the more that guy's hurting for the body shot, it lets him know that, listen, I can be hurt. Listen, this guy's trying to hurt me. And it makes him that much sharper. So knowing that Khabib has that tool in his shed, knowing that he can take him down and dominate the fight, is definitely going to keep Justin Gaethje his sharpest on Saturday.
All right. So I can believe in that. I can believe that there was a mentality change, a change in focus on what Justin's really going after, right? It's not so much bonuses anymore. It's world titles. It's championships. It's respect. It's everything that goes with that. So let's talk again about what makes him different and why he might be able to win this, because our knee-jerk reaction, aside from he's a savage, he's got one punch knockout power, which he does. You know, he's willing to pour out the jug. So maybe there's that potential that he can drag Khabib into the kind of fight that we've never seen Khabib have to be in. I get all that. But we've also sort of knee-jerk said, you know, he also can wrestle, guys. I know he never shows it, but he can wrestle. I'm starting to see sort of people reacting negatively to that idea, be like, that's all great that he's got a wrestling background. But if you don't use it, is it really there? If a tree falls in the damn woods, did it happen? Did it make a sound, Rashad? How much are we overplaying, underplaying what Justin's wrestling ability, you know, might mean to Saturday's outcome?
You know, it's really hard to say just because of the fact that there's a level, there's wrestling and then there's Khabib level, you know, and you know, there's guys who know how to wrestle, but there's not a lot of guys, or if any, who knows how to wrestle at the level of Khabib. So it's really hard to say. And it's really hard to say right now if he's going to be able to match Khabib's wrestling, you know, tit for tat. But here's what I can say, and here's what I'm trusting, and I believe the fact that, you know, he can scramble enough, and scrambling enough creates openings. And there's one thing about Justin Gaethje that I admire more than anything of his punching power is his ability to land that punching power off of off balance shots. And that's where I feel that he may be able to land a shot that hurts Khabib and changes the dynamic of things. And that may happen in the fact because he scrambles and he's the king at scrambling in certain positions and hitting those power off center shots.
And he's also got, as we laid out, a fantastic coach in Trevor Whitman, who was formerly your coach in a certain stretch in your career. He's done amazing things with Rose Namajunas, transforming her into a mental, you know, savage machine, great boxer from a fighter who in the beginning was sort of all about the ground game. You know, had that great one-off fight just recently with Kamaru Usman, in which you saw a lot of evolution there. So I think Khabib knows this, because in that one sort of public teleconference that Khabib did, he didn't want to give Justin a whole lot of praise. He wasn't crapping on him. Khabib's very respectful, unless you know, cross that line and talk bad about his creed and his family and his religion and his wife and all that, as Conor once did, plus threw a dolly through a window and didn't get in trouble for it. That's another story for another time, though, Rashad. But Khabib did make constant mentions to what makes Justin great is he has a great coach. So Coach Whitman here, I don't think, tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've ever seen him in a spot where he had a game plan against Khabib. Is this a legitimate part of us handicapping how this fight will go? I mean, can this genius, this man who can invent the only MMA glove that seems to work, but UFC doesn't want it right now, can this guy come up with something that we've never seen anybody try before and against Khabib? And is Justin the right man to carry out this execution?
When you talk about strategy, there is in the game to me, there's Mark Henry, who's a really good strategist, but there's also Trevor Whitman, who's an excellent strategist. And as you mentioned, I trained under him for a few fights, and it was my best fights. And just his approach to the game, how systematic he is from training, from the aspects you need to work on, what the goal is in each and every single round. And that's one thing that Trevor always does. He's always makes a goal. What's the goal of this round? What's the goal? So it really makes it easy as an athlete to understand which each objective is every single round and what to do. So when it comes to just coming with a great game plan, a great strategy, Trevor has that. And when it comes to being able to devise a game plan that's going to be able to create some wrinkles and create some opportunities for Justin Gaethje, Trevor has it as well, too. So it's going to come down to Justin Gaethje being able to execute that and not getting so caught up in those moments of where he feels very excited to fight. And we've seen him do it. We've seen him get very excited. He starts, 10 toes down and brawling. And sometimes that worked out, but sometimes it doesn't.
I'm wondering, Rashad, because, no one's really had to make Khabib fight, like really fight, right? Because he's always has the advantage of being able to take it to the ground. Yes, Michael Johnson landed some shots and seemed to wobble him early. Look how that ended. Yes, Connor's the only guy to win a round against him technically, although can we shout out Gleison Tebow, please? The judges missed it that night, all right? He had some success. But no, Connor kind of outboxed him in a round where I think Khabib was checking his own gas tank, looking to make a statement on the feet, didn't take it to the ground, whatever. No one's dragged this guy into a brawl. Is it possible here? Is it possible? How do you do that? Do you have to hurt Khabib and wobble him to get him to have to throw everything at the wall and fight you man to man, toe to toe? Is Justin the man to do this? I mean, I'm trying to imagine how this fight can go. I love the idea of Gaethje being able to pull this off outside of just, he might be able to knock him out. But no, can he make Khabib do what he doesn't want to do? Is that possible?
Yes, and I think it's going to be possible. I think it's going to be mandatory for Khabib to jump through that hoop. Just like Justin Gaethje has to jump through the hoop of grappling in order to beat Khabib, well, Khabib is going to have to jump through the gate of going through a brawl in order to beat Justin Gaethje, because here's why. In order for Khabib to even have any amount of success with his grappling, he has to establish the hands. And not only does he have to establish the hands, he has to establish respect with the hands. He has to be able to let Justin Gaethje know that he can hit him with some shots. And then once Justin Gaethje knows that he can be hit with some shots, then the takedowns become easier. Wrestling is only 6-7 minutes for a reason. It's because you can't do it for 25 minutes straight. I don't care how great a shape you are in, you cannot wrestle at a high level for that long. And when you're going against a guy like Justin Gaethje, who has ability to maybe neutralize certain positions or at least make you work harder for those certain positions that you would be able to score on everyone else, then you're going to have to at least let those hands go at some point. So we're going to see it.
I want to get your reaction to how both have framed publicly what their strategy will be. And you never know. Are you answering honest? Are you just spitting out words? Are you trying to plant seeds? I don't know. Khabib in I believe it was an interview with ESPN said, I plan to drag Justin into the deep waters, tire him out late in the fight. And then around the fourth round, choke him out. I don't think Justin Gaethje gets tired though.
I mean, he's training up at elevation. I mean, it'd be really crazy to see him get tired. But you're right. He doesn't get tired. And that's going to be something that maybe Khabib is going to have to adjust his game plan for. But, it's something that he always sets his mind for. That's his things that he needs to focus on in each and every single fight. And he knows when he sees a guy's gas tank going down and he sees their energy bar starts dwindling, that's when he puts the pressure on. But that may be hard against a charging Justin Gaethje, who has that power that doesn't fade when it comes to the shots. And it's very hard to know how much gas Justin Gaethje has in the tank because he's very surprisingly athletic in certain positions. And with a guy who's very surprisingly athletic in certain positions, they save a little bit. And it's hard to say when that explosiveness from the athleticism is going to come forward.
And then, Justin's flip side, he said, I'm going to kick him in the leg 4 times and then I'm going to knock him out there. Khabib did relay that back to Khabib. And his response was, people don't kick me in the leg in land damage because when they get that close, I take them down. Justin's just kind of relaying caveman interview stuff there, right? I mean, or you think leg kicks is going to be a big part of this?
I think he's definitely going to kick his leg. And I think he's going to kick his leg to show that he's not afraid to get taken down. And here's the thing that I think that Justin Gaethje is understanding, the fact that he knows that he's going to get taken down and he's not afraid to get taken down because he understands that in order to keep him down, Khabib is going to have to expend a lot of energy. And that's what Justin wants, because a lot of guys who have the game plan of Khabib, they have the wash and repeat cycle and they can hold guys down and rest when they're there. But if they have that interrupted by some scrambling and can't keep the guy down and then coming back up to his feet and having to pay the piper with some heavy shots and play defense, then it changes the dynamic on things. Then they think a lot more more strategic about when they're going to go for the shot. And then that's when the striker's game plan starts to implement.
You know, I'm wondering if this, I think the best case scenario for this fight, because we're always like, can somebody make Khabib fight their fight? Well, how about can somebody do that over a long period of time? Maybe this fight ends up looking like the great UFC 196 title fight, Holly Holm, Miesha Tate, where sort of for five rounds, each person implemented their own, you know, game plan and strategy and seemed to have success over the entire course of that round. I mean, that would be fantastic if it went back and forth in that regard. Obviously, we're going to find out on Saturday night. So expert pick time. You're the expert, Rashad. Khabib minus 330. Justin plus 260. Who wins? What's the bet? What are we doing here in Abu Dhabi at 254?
All right. This is a tough one. You know, it can definitely go either way for me, the way I see it, you know, with their imposing games. But for me, the thing with this fight is like I said earlier, you know, the wash and repeat cycle of Khabib, can he keep him down and more or less be able to eliminate getting loose when he gets up in the scramble positions and not get caught with an off-center power shot that Justin Gaethje hits all too well. And I think that for the most part, in order for Khabib to get the fight where he wants to, he's going to have to cross through the fire. And that Justin Gaethje fire to cross is absolute hell. And that's where I think that Justin Gaethje gets a win in this fight. Woo! I think it's going to be an upset. And I think that Justin Gaethje is going to catch him with maybe something like a not so much of an uppercut, but something like a left hook or something. That's what I'm feeling like. He's going to catch him with something like that. Justin is in a mindset right now that it's rare to see him in a mindset like he has right now. He's just super ultra focused, and I think he's going to do it.
Wow, there was a great American fighter who once said, I'm going to make you skip to my loo. Okay. All right. Let's see if Justin can do that on Saturday. Rashad, we also have a hell of a co-main event here. Wow. Middleweight division, probably a number one contenders fight here to see who has next for middleweight champion Israel Adesanya when former champ Robert Whittaker squares off with the red hot but coming off an injury layoff, Jared Cannonier. Let's update William Hill's line here. Plus 100 underdog for Robert Whittaker, minus 120 favorite for Cannonier. Now, Rashad, I don't want to discount Cannonier's chances at all, and I certainly want to hear your breakdown here. I was a little bit surprised, though. Whittaker had bounced back. He outpointed Darren Till in his comeback fight, looked very technical, seemed to shake off all the cobwebs of, is your mind still in it? Can your body still take this grind? All that stuff that sort of slowed down what I thought was going to be a lengthy title run for Robert Whittaker. Obviously, now you got Adesanya's rocket ship flying up right through the middle of that. You think this line is right to start things off here?
This is a close fight, but you know, Robert Whittaker is, you know, he showed in his last fight that he does still have it. And he showed that, you know, with the right focus and with his heart behind it, he still can be a showstopper and he still has some amazing fights to show us, you know. But he's got a very tough fight in Cannonier. You know, Cannonier is not a Darren Till in the fact that the physicality of it all. And I think that's some aspects that maybe given the betters or the bookers, you know, a little bit pause when they're making this line is the fact that, you know, we got the physicality of Cannonier is unlike anybody that Robert Whittaker has met apart from Yoel Romero. So I think that this is going to be a lot tougher fight for him in that respect. And those shots that he was hitting on Robert Whittaker, he's going to have to add a little bit more to it. And the question is, does he really have it at this point in his career?
Will this fight be more of a technical affair like we saw against Till? Or will this fight be like most of Bobby Knuckles' biggest fights? He welcomes entering into a war. He's a classy warrior, meaning there's so much skill. I think he's among, you know, some of the most well-rounded elite fighters that the UFC has today. And he can take punishment. He went 10 rounds with that piece of iron and steel known as Yoel Romero and kept standing, even though, let's be honest, Rashad, the rematch at the very least, It was Yoel's night. Come on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know he misses weight all the time. He didn't really sell out against Israel out of Sinai, but you get it. Okay. Anyway, what do you think this is? I mean, this has all the makings in some ways to be a brawl, but I thought the same thing about Whitaker Till. What's this fight going to look like?
I think it's going to be largely fought on the feet, and I think it's going to be a lot of power strikes, but I think it's going to be Robert Whitaker trying to stay, you know, off the line, trying to stay slick, trying to stay quick with his motions, but I think that power of Cannoneer is going to definitely, you know, take charge at some point. You know, one thing about Cannoneer, you know, he's a guy coming from heavyweight all the way down. He's worked his way through his career to get to middleweight. And now you see him right now, and he's like a sculpted art. You know, his body is tracking. And more importantly than his body's tracking, his mental is tracking, his spirituality is tracking. All these things are aligning. You know, when you have all these things in synergy working together, you really become an unstoppable unit in yourself. And that's what I see with Cannoneer. You know, he's just really ultra focused, but more or less has a belief in himself that comes from more than just fighting. And that's what that's to me is going to be an obstacle in itself that Whitaker has to overcome.
Yeah. It comes from the damn crystals. He's not going to try to hide one of those crystals in the banana sack. Right. I mean,
The crystal power is something else. He's tapping into it. He's tapping into the metaphysics of everything. You know, he's trying to tap into that that subtle energy that exists in the universe. And you know,
did he lick a toad or something last month and get a third eye? What happened here?
I might have to get him on licking the toad crew. You know, but he's definitely on the level. You know, he takes his fighting and it's just not a fight to him. You know, and as an athlete, as a fighter, when fighting is not just about a fight, it's about the spiritual process. And along the way, so much can be gained in that aspect, because it's not just a fight. It's a moment of your life where you get a chance to grow. So the fight holds so much more weight in a different regard, and the focus is a lot different. And you see that in Jared Cannoneer.
Quickly on Whitaker before we get to the pick here. It seems like this is the fight, like I mentioned, that can get him back to the title level. And obviously a rematch with him and Adesanya, given that they're both stars in that oceanic region, it seems inevitable. It'd be a great fight. I'd love to see it. Is there anything Whitaker should change? Meaning, it seems like the issues he's had was more sustained injury, you know, overworked, grinded, the you know, he was burnt out, and then he got caught against Adesanya. Have you seen anything through this journey that's concerning, or is it just as simple as get healthy?
No, you know, I seen him hit the reset button. You know, he hit the mental reset button, and he started to take some, you know, account of how he was feeling, and really started to, you know, to battle that demon inside that happens to so many successful athletes after a certain amount of time. You know, you just start being your worst enemy, and he's facing himself to the point where he's speaking about it. And when an athlete starts speaking about the troubles that come on a mental aspect of competing, that's when you know a fighter is, or an athlete is, changing and turning the corner. And that's what I see in Robert Whitaker. He's turning the corner, and I don't know if that equates to a win in this fight, but more or less it equates to him being able to understand where his fight is coming from going into the fight.
Yeah, indeed. All right. It's pick time. Plus 100 underdog is Whitaker. Cannoneer minus 120. Who you got?
Man, I was all sold on Robert Whitaker. I really was. And then I started to watch more Cannoneer, and just the power that Cannoneer has, the overall physicality, his punch selection, just everything that Cannoneer has been doing since he's been in the middleweight division has shown to me that, you know, Robert Whitaker is in for one on Saturday, and I got to go Cannoneer with this one.
Ooh, by stoppage?
Yeah. It could, but I think this is going to go to the judges, but I got Cannoneer.
All right. Interesting heavyweight fight real quick on this main card. Alexander Volkov coming in as a minus 160 favorite against Walt Harris, plus 135 underdog. Let's be honest, Harris seemed all set up for a big storyline, that big fight with Overeem during the quarantine. There was the story of losing his daughter. There was all that good feeling. There was the idea that a big win there, maybe he's a dark horse heavyweight title contender. And then he kind of screwed up and fell, and Overeem sent him to the dark depths. Plus 135 coming in against a guy in Volkov who, look, no one ever looks good against, straight up, right? I mean, you know, Volkov seemed to win every second of that punch, that one punch knockout loss, of course, to Derek Lewis. So odds are close in this one. You lean in any specific way?
I'm going to lean with Walt Harris, and I say that because Walt Harris has that wrestling and that grinding ability. And I think that when you're a tall guy like Volkov, it's going to be hard to keep a guy that has the ability to throw punches to make you cover up, but then at the same time, the ability to take you down by shooting underneath and making you pay like Walt Harris. So I think that that's going to be Walt Harris' strategy. Touch up top, go underneath. If not, he doesn't, you know, with a tall guy like Volkov, you can put him on a horns of dilemma the whole fight. Go high, low, high, low, high, low. He can't win that exam. You know what I'm saying? So if Walt Harris does that, then he can definitely get Volkov out of here. But Volkov is a very tough and tricky fighter because he's a very long fighter who knows how to fight long. You know, there's not a lot of long fighters who know how to fight long and keep guys long and make them pay as they're coming into their zone. And Volkov has that. So not for nothing, Walt Harris is going to have his work cut out trying to cross that barrier to implement his shots and takedown. But at the same time, I think he's definitely capable of doing it. I like Walt Harris in this fight.
Ooh, Volkov looking to bounce back from being out wrestled by Curtis Blaydes in his last fight. Rashad, you're a big fan here of this riser at middleweight, Philip Hawes, who made a big splash for himself in the Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series. He's a -280 favorite here against Jacob Malkoon. What should we be looking at in this one?
Phil Hawes has been a guy who's been in the game for a long time, you know, for a long time, back training with John Jones and Jackson's, came over, was training in New York City under Henzo Gracie and in Jersey. And he's been one of those guys who's traveled as a journeyman in a while. And now he's here in South Florida, but now he's figuring it out. And you see him, you know, figuring it out and not battling himself anymore. You know, there was a few years where he was just kind of battling, do I want to do this? Or do I not want to do this? And he has all the physical acumen to do this, but it was just a matter of him deciding if this is really what he wanted to do. And now you see that he's made that choice. And, you know, he's been looking phenomenal. And he's excited to be there and seize the opportunity. So there's a lot that this Phil Hawes can show a lot of people. He's one of the most athletic and most dynamic athletes I ever trained with. You know, I never trained with someone as explosive as Phil in my life, you know. So
wow.
He's definitely got a lot of tools, and I look to see him start to show people in this fight that, you know, he's somebody that people should take notice of.
Opening up this pay-per-view main card is Magomed Ankalaev and Ion, I never can get it right. I'm sorry. Is it Ion? What the hell is it? Kutelaba, the maniac. They fought already. Controversial knockout from Ankalaev. We've tried to book this almost Khabib and Tony levels. We're finally going to get it, I think. +220 underdog Kutelaba, -270 for Ankalaev. Who are you liking in this one, Rashad?
As much as I love Kutelaba and I love the energy that he brings and all the craziness, I just think that technically speaking, Ankalaev is just at a different level. It is what it is. You know, sometimes guys are just better than you. But that's what we seen last time that they fought. You know what I'm saying? It's been a while because this fight's been trying to book for a while. But from what I've seen of Ankalaev, you know, he's just, you know, too technically sound. And he fights very smart, very strong physical guy. The only way he can get in trouble in this fight is for him to get caught up in what Kutelaba wants to do, the whole brawling wild style, and caught in the emotional part of the fight. Ankalaev is a Russian, so they're very divorced from emotion. So if he is taps into his Russian side, then he should be fine and just be even keel this whole fight and go out there and get the finish.
He's not just Russian. He's also in a hurry. Rashad, when you look at this prelim card, where should we put our money? Anybody on this prelim card jumping out at you that you want to take a flyer on?
Oh, my gosh. What do we got on the prelim card? What do you have here?
Because our guy, some people would say, Smiling Sam Alvey, hasn't been smiling lately, Rashad, because he's lost four in a row. He's a +300 underdog against Da Eun Jung, who I feel like might send him not just to hell, but maybe out of a job here.
Yeah, that cut. Sam Alvey is facing a tough one. I mean, but you know what? Sam is still around. You know what I'm saying?
Rashad, I just don't want Sam one day to be bouncing the grandkids on the leg and go, hey guys, you know, I once beat UFC Hall of Famer Sugar Rashad Evans, right? Not on my scorecard, not in the Campbell household. You didn't.
Not on my scorecards either. I know. But you know who I'm excited for though? There's a little bit of gold in this heavyweight matchup between Stefan Struve and Tui Tuivasa. I butchered his last name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Taya Tuivasa. He craps in a shoe and eats it, something like that.
Yeah, but Taya Tuivasa, these guys are both on. I mean, he's always fun to watch, and especially being able to fight where he's, you know, gets this kind of attention, and he's going against a guy in Stefan Struve who's kind of rewritten himself after going back home, you know, and trying to make a march to that belt. So it's going to be interesting to see this fight, this matchup, and see where both of these fighters are right now and what they both need to achieve in order to keep their, you know, heavyweight career in the right trajectory.
Yeah, that's the kind of slop I'm here for. That's your prelim main event there on ESPN. Struve, -125 favorite. He hasn't retired in a while. I wonder if Tuivasa can send him back there as a +105 underdog. Good, interesting to see. Also, Casey Kenney back. That's the let me bang. Somebody come in here and let me bang with him? Bringing back to life the great Julian Lane comment from Tough, right? Right? Let me bang, bro, please. Just let me bang. All right. Sugar Rashad Evans, we are fired up for Saturday. Thank you for sharing your insight. We can follow you on the social medias at Sugar Rashad Evans. What should we be looking out for? You're going to be on the ESPN telecast anytime soon? You got a comedy set coming up at Caroline's. What's going on? What's in your future?
Halloween weekend, I'll be back in Vegas doing the UFC show. And I'll actually be cornering Greg Hardy that night too for the fight.
Oh, nice.
He's got a big one too against Maurice Green. So we've been last few months just buffing out the iron, you know, and making sure that he's on point and firing at all cylinders. He's looking good.
Is this the first time you've cornered somebody in a UFC fight?
No, I've cornered a few people, but I mean,
I was going to say,
in a long time.
I cornered
Vitor when he fought John Jones.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. How did I not know that? That was a little bit like WWF revenge style right there. Uh-huh. He almost caught him. He almost caught him. Damn. I was going to try to compare your coaching record to that of the great coach Latorre Gonzalez, who undefeated, bro. All right, until somebody beats her. Okay, there it is. Sugar Rashad, thank you so much. Morning Combat, all day, every day, almost every day, in your face hole. That's how we do it here. Enjoy the fights this weekend, Rashad. You got any two words maybe for the people out there?
Hey, we out.